in an age where more and more pets are starting to experience immune dysregulation in a variety of ways, and the most common of it being a dermatologic symptomatic finding or pattern that we're seeing with these pets, then no different to you or I as humans who have a maintenance hair and skin care regimen. I do believe that in this day and age that we do need to start having that for pets as well. That maintenance regimen should be as holistic and all natural as possible so that it allows for opportunities in the future. If there are a need for additional therapies, that you can include them, but starting off holistically is definitely important, and understanding that a maintenance regimen therapy for pets is not some crazy idea.
Welcome to the Pet Care Report podcast by Pet Summits. Here's your natural dog healthcare host, Alora McKinley.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Pet Care Report. Now allergies. Right now in Australia, where I am, it's spring and our seasonal allergies are rampant, which you might be able to hear a little bit in my voice today. And now many years ago when we first moved to the country, my eldest dog Milo, he would run in the long grass and he would break out in hives every time, and it was awful. And I know allergies is something many pet parents deal with today. And so today we're going to be chatting about holistic therapy and maintenance for pets with allergic skin disease with Dr. Zach Philosophus, a nationally celebrated integrative veterinarian and top alumnus of Tufts University Veterinary School. With a foundation in emergency and critical care, Dr. Zach's journey took him across America, refining his approach and diving deep into holistic pet care. His commitment to bridging conventional practices with integrative medicine led him to the creation of Naked Pet, a pioneering platform designed for pet parents and veterinarians seeking comprehensive wellness solutions. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Zach.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. I really appreciate the invite. So this is awesome.
Thank you. Now, before we get into our very topical discussion today, I know you've had a really exciting career. What led you to starting Naked Pet?
Originally I followed the same kind of conventional medicine path as everyone else. So, you know, I went to, general conventional vet school. And in that school, I learned a lot of cool things. And I initially went out into practice and was, still learning pretty comprehensively in the first couple of years. But I also became kind of frustrated right away with feeling a bit limited in not only what I felt like we had available, but more importantly, kind of the questions that a lot of pet parents were asking that a lot of veterinarians didn't know the answers to. And for me, that was something that I became frustrated with versus like kind of just brushing it off. So it kind of stemmed from a little bit of this almost anxiety that I was like, I can't answer these pet parents' questions. And slowly started to research things that, was able to, over the course of a couple of years, become comfortable with some of the things that I was being asked on a frequent basis. And then finally, after, 3 or 4 years, I really figured out that this is something I find a lot of passion in addition to, the Western medicine practices that I had been trained on. And so, through some friendships and through some, some experiences that, not all of them worked out, I guess, in the end, but learned a lot from, then I was able to put together some of this knowledge as well as an experience factor that, I'm grateful for those opportunities I had, and put together Naked Pet, which is, right now it's a bit of a quasi, little mix of about two or three things. We do a lot of dermatologic pet care, obviously. And then, we do a pretty comprehensive integrative medicine platform that, we have several options for pet parents. So, it's almost kind of been an expression of experiences and knowledge that I grew over time. Again, like I said, stemmed through this frustration that I really couldn't answer a lot of pet parents' questions. And now I feel like I'm more equipped for that.
That's so cool. And it sounds like it's just going to keep growing as you gain more knowledge and create more products. Now, today we're going to be chatting about allergies. Can you give us a quick rundown of what allergies are and what symptoms a dog might display if they are suffering from allergies?
Yeah, for sure. And, I'm confident that so many pet parents are also very, very aware of these symptoms as well, because, kind of like you mentioned in the beginning, is that this is really the most common thing we're seeing in the veterinary clinics right now, is this, the symptoms of some type of allergic disease. And so, when it comes to, skin and ears, anal glands, toes, et cetera. You know, we're going to see primarily the symptoms that a lot of people are struggling with at home with their pets, you know, at their side. So, you know, predominantly the first thing we usually see is some itchiness and irritation. We'll see, you know, redness of the skin. A lot of times redness without any little bumps or pustules, we call them, like little, you know, almost like little dots or anything of that nature on the skin. Usually it's just like this mild redness. The reason I mention that is because a lot of times when we see that, it will actually think that it may be an infectious cause first. So allergies, usually we don't see that. We'll just see some redness. A lot of times we'll almost see some scarring from the chronic itching that we can see, you know, them going through over several months, which can lead to even some bleeding of the skin. So a lot of times, you know, those are the main things we'll see is itching, redness, and then sometimes what we call excoriations or self-trauma that exists from those first two signs.
Such a tough one, such a common thing these days too. So can you explain then what the difference between holistic maintenance therapy is and how it differs from conventional treatment for pet allergies?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way in which we're trained a lot in conventional medicine is very, very sound on the diagnostic side, of course. So we are, you know, we're trained comprehensively on how to work through the problem-solving aspect of figuring out if this is actually an allergy, which a lot of times is really like a rule out diagnosis, essentially. So, you know, once we check for things like bacterial infections or fungal infections or parasites, you know, fleas and et cetera, and other parasites, et cetera, even chemical irritants that may be around the house, then, you know, once we've come to the idea of allergies, then in my opinion, I feel like we actually are very limited because of the fact that the three or four medications that we've used over the course of years to maybe decades, these medications are good at controlling the symptoms that we often see that, you know, we just kind of mentioned in the question earlier, but they're not really figuring out the root cause or addressing the root cause, in my opinion. So the root cause of allergies is an immune dysregulation and a hyper immunity to things that really aren't dangerous to the body, but it actually is confused or thinks it is. So if we think about that, then the goal or the approach to treating these allergies, you know, more in a holistic fashion would be to, number one, you know, doing a lifestyle modification or a lifestyle analyzation and then modification of the things that maybe could be promoting inflammation. And then at the same time, addressing the organ specifically that's having discomfort or having a problem, which is the skin, which is actually the part that I saw not being addressed as much as I felt like it was necessary. You know, we see tons of holistic veterinarians and integrative veterinarians that really do an excellent job of promoting the idea of reducing inflammation from the inside out. But at the same time, if you look at humans that are dealing with immune-mediated skin conditions or that are dealing with autoimmune conditions of the skin, you know, which humans get allergies just like us, a very equal component of that treatment plan is the dermatologic topical therapies that they're using. So that was, you know, I think that's a component that we're yet to start including, and that's kind of what was my drive to, again, start Naked Pet in one way or another.
Mm. So then what type of allergic skin conditions benefit the most from a holistic approach?
When it comes to allergies in pets, you know, cats and dogs, the most common stimuli for that would be a reaction to foods, mostly food proteins like, you know, that are found in everyday, you know, conventional products that we feed them all the time. The second would be an environmental reaction. And then the third, which is least likely but easiest to usually kind of rule in or out, is a hypersensitivity to like the saliva proteins in certain parasites, you know, specifically fleas. So we'll see. So, you know, once you rule those out and you know, the first one out, I mean, the flea sensitivity, if you check for fleas and you make sure that you're not having fleas in your pets, then really we're dealing with those primary two, is the food sensitivity and or an environmental. And again, there's a process to try and figure out if your pet is struggling with one or both of those and then how to address them.
Yeah. So then if a pet parent wants to take a holistic approach, where should they start?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's difficult, right? How many humans deal with allergies their whole life, right? It's really difficult. You know, I feel like a lot of times we make it sound like it's so simple, like, you know, address the diet and then address, you know, these other things and you'll be fine. Your pet's gonna be great. And it's really not, you know, it's difficult because there's so many components you have to do. And so the first one I really start with, you know, cause I do this a lot now this year, you know, since starting Naked Pet, we really break it down as digestible as we can. And so, you know, I really break it into like four components. So the first one, which is the easiest to do, is really to survey the environment that the animal's in, right? And look for certain stressors or look for certain stimuli that could be causing there to be a problem. And so, you know, the common things we see indoors, for example, are, you know, these synthetic plugins, dryer sheets, certain detergents, things we may be using on the floors or to clean, you know, carpeted surfaces or even their dog beds. You know, there's a lot of chemical irritants that, you know, maybe don't cause what we think of like with an irritant, it's like a burn, but it can cause over time chronic stimulation and aggravation. So that's usually the first area where we start, is looking for things that maybe can be correlative to causing the skin to be a bit uncomfortable and continue to be dysregulated. The second is the one that's, you know, pretty much like I said, everyone, at least in the integrative holistic space, usually covers very comprehensively, which is addressing the gut health. And that makes a lot of sense because somewhere, depending on who you read, the 70 to 80% of your immune system is in your gut and is responding and then traveling through the rest of the body. So gut health is obviously paramount and profoundly important to address. And, you know, being in the clinic, I see lots of dogs that are on standard kibble diets and they live healthy lives, or they live long lives. Like, I don't know, you know, I can say it's healthy, but they live long lives and they're fine, and that's great, but we're finding more and more pets nowadays that are not living comfortably. And so I think that it's becoming more and more relevant that we really need to address diet and include as much, fresh species appropriate foods as we can, in order to set the groundwork for, immune modulation, as well as, trying to reduce the body's hypersensitivity to these antigens that it's not tolerating. So, you know, figuring out which proteins your dog is not, or cat, and I guess your pet is not tolerant of, and then finding a fresh whole food diet. For me, I'm really impartial to, you know, the lightly cooked versus the raw. You just have to obviously, you know, be careful in terms of the processing of it and the handling of it. But for me, as long as it's fresh whole food, as best as you can, and even if that means cutting, you know, the kibble in half and doing 50-50 or doing 75-25, for me, the best you can do is really all I want from, you know, my pet parents. So so we work through that as the second phase. The third phase is going to be, you know, my favorite, obviously, the topical side. So the part that I feel is like neglected the most. And so, you know, understanding that the products we put on our pets are going to equally stimulate this dysregulated immune system just as much as, you know, what we're putting down their, you know, into their guts. So Naked Pet, when I was putting that together, was we had two main priorities. The first was 100% transparency, so pet parents knew exactly what they were putting on their pets. And number two was as naturally derived as possible, because when it comes to the maintenance of pets that have allergies, in my opinion, the predominance of them can all rely on natural products. It's just the frequency in which we use those, whether we're trying to maintain a dog to be comfortable, or if we're trying to address a flare up where they're uncomfortable. So that's the third. And then the fourth is understanding what kind of, I guess, immunizations or preventatives that we're also exposing our dogs to every day, which are technically, you know, medicines that are supposed to protect them. But at the same time, there is a large growing body of opinions that overuse of these products can also cause immune dysregulation. So everything in moderation and using it for the goal in which it's intended for. And you know, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about specifically like vaccinations, preventatives, et cetera, using those as in which they were intended in order to protect an animal in the best way possible, but avoiding the opportunity for it to cause harm in the long term.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. With pet parents searching for more non-pharmaceutical options to deal with their allergies, is there anything that they can do, maybe if their dog's getting a rash due to allergies, what kind of things can they do to help their dog?
Yeah, sure, exactly. So when we're dealing with flare-ups, again, you know, there's so many components that could deal with that. And the first part, again, is always kind of problem solving to figure out what could have caused this flare-up. Is this, you know, something that could be just, you know, a food that they got exposed to and they're intolerant of it, and we just need to kind of detox them for a couple of days? Or is this something where, you know, we're seeing a pattern over the course of months to years that this is, you know, the time of year where they have this environmental reaction? Or, you know, there's other things that can cause it. But in general, when we are dealing with a pet and we do want to try as natural as possible, which again, like I said, I do think that that is a realistic goal for most pets, not all, but most, that we can control them, control their symptoms, as well as addressing the root cause holistically. That first off, again, you know, like I said, I'm always going to come back to the idea that topical therapies is super important. So whether it's, you know, Naked Pet products or another product that you heavily research and you're looking at that label start to finish, both active and inactive ingredients, trying to detox the skin from the inflammation that's there at present, especially if it's a localized site. And then there are some supplements and nutraceuticals that I work with my pet parents as well that can help in the same manner that we, you know, use pharmaceuticals. So for example, there are natural antihistamine products that we'll use if we need. So a classic example is a quercetin supplement. Nettles is another one that some people like to use. I really love omegas and promoting a proper omega 3-6 ratio, where, you know, we're about that 4-1 ratio of 3-6. Again, omega 6s aren't all bad, but it's the ratio that's important for sure when it comes to this. So omegas are super important in that. And then, you know, there's a couple of other products that I'll often rely on. So like CBD, for example, a full spectrum CBD product, and making sure, again, the sourcing is important with all of these. But if it's a full spectrum CBD product, it's another example that can work. So specifically flare-ups, it's addressing the topical side and detoxing the skin at that site, as well as trying to promote a level of healing at that site. And then we do have some supplements that I'll often rely on that can help in the heavy majority of pets get through a flare-up like that.
Yeah. And in terms of topical products, you mentioned that the ingredients are really important. What kind of ingredients are we looking for?
Yeah. So there's really a bunch, honestly. You know, when it came to when I was trying to formulate these with my partner who helped me do that, then nature has provided so many different options for that sense. So, you know, each product that we made through Naked Pet has a different specific function. So it's really meant to be a regimen, similar to like humans have hair and skincare regimens, right? Like I would say 9 out of 10 humans, every single night before they go to bed, they have, you know, a face washing regimen, right? Or, you know, we have a shower regimen that we do our hair specifically, right? And, you know, so the products are going to be, I mean, the ingredients are going to be the same pretty much as the human side with pets. And I find it very interesting that we a lot of times think that, you know, pets and humans are completely different. And there are some, obviously some ingredients that, you know, or specifically food ingredients that, you know, maybe pets can't get and humans can ingest. But when it comes to topicals, you know, it's really a very similar game. And I know that because actually the person who helped formulate Naked Pet for me, she formulated products for the human space for 30 plus years. And so the formulas that we use for Naked Pet are really about 80 to 90%, at least right now, our first phase. You know, we're going to have a second phase of products to come out, but our first phase are about 80 to 90% the same formula that she's used in the human medicine space for decades. So you know, if you look at our ingredients again, if you go through it, you're going to see a lot of essential oils that are commonly discussed that have anti-inflammatory properties. There are a few that she's a very smart woman, so she has found several through you know, her training, as well as her knowledge and her experience and studying over time, that are a bit unique, which I do think that they are, they do help substantially more than I think some of the common ones we talk about. You know, overall, the ingredients that we're seeing are talked about all the time, I think, in this space. It's just a matter that we took a lot of them and just put them into one formulation instead of, you know, being talked about one here, one there, one there, and having to like buy all these other things to put into one kind of topical hair regimen, hair and skin regimen.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long does it take to gauge the effectiveness to see if a holistic approach is helping?
You know, that's actually a great question, to tell you the truth, because, and I think it's very subjective, because it really depends on who you're talking to in a lot of ways. And I just say that because when I was growing up, right, as you know, before I was a veterinarian, we had a dog that had horrific allergies and was just super difficult to watch. And, you know, we would gauge at that time very differently as to when she was comfortable. When now looking back, I honestly feel like she was uncomfortable every day of her life. And it's sad to say that, but, you know, this was before I knew kind of these other additional options. And so, you know, I wish I would have had the knowledge I have now with her, and, you know, we did the best we could for her. But, you know, our gauge of what's a successful control of allergic symptoms at that time, you know, would be very different than what I was kind of expecting now. And so the reason I say that is because every dog or every pet is going to be different in terms of, you know, what we're able to kind of control and to mitigate in their life of having allergies, because, you know, every case is going to be very different. And so, you know, obviously, ideally, the goal, you know, the hypothetical goal would be to, you know, keep them comfortable in a way that they're not itching and scratching, and that they're not kind of hurting themselves through this process, you know, for the majority, if not the entire year. And that would be great stuff. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, a flare up or something, you know, like the first time of the year where, you know, we're seeing these symptoms, if it's environmental, for example, then, you know, usually we try to give it at least a couple of weeks on the holistic therapies. And if we can't get it controlled in that sense, then, you know, the reason why pharmaceuticals exist is for that specific situation, right? Is to kind of address symptoms in the moment and to try to get us back to a state of neutrality. And then we can use holistics again on the long-term maintenance side. So I think it's important for us to be aware that, you know, pharmaceuticals aren't the enemy. They just need to be used in the proper way. And, you know, coming from someone like me, for example, I'm not a 100% holistic veterinarian. I work actually in emergency rooms for the majority of my clinical work. So I'm using pharmaceuticals every single day, and I'm, you know, helping to save animals using pharmaceuticals. So pharmaceuticals are not the enemy. It's just about using them at the right time point with the right duration that can help a pet. And then once we get the pharmaceuticals benefit out of the way, then we can again reestablish a holistic maintenance regimen.
So good to have a balanced approach, isn't it? It's really beneficial for the dogs. And so for those dogs that have flare-ups, let's say it's seasonal, it's a particular grass maybe, should owners start before the season even commences, or should they just treat it as it comes?
No, absolutely. That's very important to bring up for sure. So, you know, if you're able to predict when your pet symptoms are commonly arising, especially if it's environmental, then no, absolutely, it's very important to not only start a topical hair and skin care regimen prior to that in order to get the skin in a state of balance as best as possible, but at the same time, there is you know, a second component to that, which is actually, in my opinion, is important, is detoxing the body through certain supplements. So, you know, especially, like I said, if you're able to predict it, there's a couple of supplements we often use that will help to detox the gut, detox the liver, and can help to almost neutralize a lot of free radicals that are throughout the body that actually will shift the reaction your body has with inflammatory stimuli. So, so that is actually something that's a great point to bring up, because and it's not something that everyone can do, but if you can predict that time of the year when it's most difficult, then absolutely 100%, I would definitely be starting to kind of ramp up your regimen, and also having some of your rescue supplements on board, as well as considering, you know, a detox protocol.
And I know you at Naked Pet make shampoos, don't you?
Yeah. So yeah, we have six products right now. One is a shampoo. One is a conditioner / deodorizer. We have a all natural insect repellent. We have a natural itch relief spray, a silver hydrosol spray, which is an antimicrobial, probably one of the best antimicrobials you can get on planet Earth. That's all natural. And then a skin rejuvenator, which is, you know, in humans akin to like an wrinkle or anti-aging cream, but in reality, it's an antioxidant cream. So it's really great for kind of the last component I mentioned a bit prior, where we are seeing some scarring, or we're seeing some excoriations or scratching that they're getting. That's the one I use for those situations. So
the reason I mention it is because some vets I know recommend washing their dogs if they do suffer from topical issues. Mm-hmm. Can we wash our dogs much to help with allergies?
Yeah, so there's definitely a theory about that bounces around, that, you know, dogs can't be washed more than a couple weeks at a time, like every 3 to 4 weeks. That's true, because in the sense of the products that are commonly used for skin, which are very harsh and have ingredients in them that would not be really safe to bathe more than, you know, once every 3 to 4 weeks. And so that theory does play out, in my opinion, is to be appropriate for those products. And those are the only ones really that we've, you know, that veterinarians are using in the clinic. And so, but at the same time, if we shift the idea of bathing them with something that is all natural, that's not going to be heavily synthetic or harsh on the skin, is not going to wipe out the microbiome that exists there, is not going to dry it out excessively, that theory does not actually make sense there. And so, the reason why I say that specifically is not only because of the products that we make at Naked Pet, but one of the best things you can do for an animal that has severe environmental allergies is just called local irrigation. So washing them daily with just warm water to help reduce or remove the antigens that's on their skin, that's between their toes, that's in their ears or on their butts, wherever they're itchy, is a super helpful practice that you can integrate into an animal's life that has environmental allergies. But when it comes to bathing specifically, you know, that theory, again, doesn't make sense when we're talking about products like a Naked Pet product, because they are not going to have harsh chemicals that are going to dry out the skin, reduce the microbiome, cause exacerbation to the immune system that's existing there. They're only going to help it. So in that sense, when I have a pet parent come through Naked Pet through the holistics, the telehealth side, we do a lot of times have a detox plan that we have ready in case they do have a flare up, where we'll bathe 3 times for the first week, 2 times for the second week, 1 time the third week, and then maybe we can get back to our 2 to 3 week regimen.
Yeah. Can you share any success stories that you've had through Naked Pet?
Oh yeah, we've had tons of them. So, you know, it's not just allergies that we do. You know, we have about 7 or 8 consults that we do right now. We try to do like targeted stuff, so it's not just like a free for all with any questions you have. But at the same time, not every pet has one, you know, has one problem at one time. So, but for the most part, I'd say, you know, we've had a few pet parents come through that, you know, did our holistic puppy class. They come through and their pets somewhere between 8 and 12 weeks. And I really love starting pets out right from the start in terms of getting them on a holistic regimen. So those have been really great. I've been able to, you know, kind of follow with those pets and those pet parents for several months now, even at a distance. You know, some of them are across the country, so, you know, I don't get to see them personally, but even so, it's been great to follow up with them. And, you know, from what the pet parents report back, they've had a lot of great success. On the dermatologics, the allergy consult, we've had, you know, probably that's probably our most common one that we do. You know, we've had a few pet parents get through the toughest times of the year very successfully, and you know, only if at all have to use the pharmaceuticals they were relying on every single day, only use them once or twice, and that's just through one consult. You know, we've had a couple of pet parents come through that have done our senior telehealth consult, which is a time where I also love, because I feel like a lot of people say, "Oh, my dog's old," and you know, they're just getting old. They don't, you know, they're just going to have to deal with this stuff. And that's just part of getting old. And I definitely do not subscribe to that theory. I think that at any point you can kind of modify an animal's life to promote longevity and happiness as maximal as possible. So I've definitely had a few that have been really successful there. And then I actually have a few nurses that I work in hospitals, you know, when I'm traveling as a vet, that have bought the products, and I've been able to actually talk to them in person. And so far, everyone's actually really, the nurses are very, they're very passionate about having Naked Pets. So far it's been going great. You know, we've had hundreds and hundreds of sales and hundreds of consults. I've had, you know, transparently about 2 or 3 pet parents that didn't really see an improvement. So, but, you know, when we have that effect, then, you know, obviously at least for me, I'm very driven to then, you know, regroup with them, and, you know, we'll make a plan B that we can maybe modify again more. So there's always options, I feel like. And sometimes it's almost like people feel helpless and there's nothing else we can do. And so, you know, at least for me, I'm very driven to refute that theory and do the best possible, because we can always make a plan B and see if we need to.
That must be so rewarding to see, you know, what impact these products that you created has had on dogs' lives. That's amazing. And so for pet owners that want to maybe wean conventional medicine and trial a more holistic approach, some vets might not be open to this idea. Where would you recommend that these owners start?
Well, you know, it's very difficult, right? Because especially, you know, when I'm working through a telehealth position, that, you know, the goal is to work with your vet as much as you can, because in the end, the veterinarian and you are the ones that have the legal relationship with your pet. But at the same time, even in that equation, you're the one that's going to have the last kind of say with your pet's health, because you technically are the owner. So veterinarians are here to make recommendations, in my opinion, and the best recommendations they can with the knowledge that they have. If you have knowledge of something different, and whether, you know, your veterinarian is not yet at the same kind of education on that side as you are, then you know, it really is your power to take your pet's health and wellness into your own hands. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to completely leave that vet behind and change vets, et cetera. But an open conversation about why you're trying this stuff and why you would prefer to try this at least, you know, initially. And then if it doesn't work, then, you know, we can come back to some type of plan B that maybe the vet has presented to you. Then that's important. It's just important about having a calm, open, engaged conversation. And, you know, same as if you would want to have with your doctor, right? It's no different. Like if, you know, they want to put you on a medication and you're like, I really like to try this first. If it doesn't work, then I'm happy to consider that. It's the same with your pet's veterinarian. It's, you know, just about remaining calm, because, you know, remaining calm is a super important component of that. And then, you know, just being open with them about why you're wanting to try this, and, you know, and being open to that. If it doesn't work, then, you know, I'm happy to consider your plan as well.
Yeah. And I guess it doesn't hurt too to maybe go find a holistic vet and get a second opinion and get support that way.
That would be ideal, right? It's hard to find a lot of them. And honestly, it's not a very big population at present. But if you can, then at the same time as well, you can have more than one veterinarian, you know, for your pet. So, you know, if each one provides value, then absolutely, that's a good point to bring up. You can find a holistic vet. Hopefully that maybe helps with that, whether it's in person or if it is, you know, through virtual means.
Yeah. So then what's your number one tip for pet parents to take away from this episode today? What would you recommend?
Well, my one recommendation would definitely be that in an age where more and more pets are starting to experience immune dysregulation in a variety of ways, and the most common of it being a dermatologic symptomatic finding or pattern that we're seeing with these pets, then no different to you or I as humans who have a maintenance hair and skin care regimen. I do believe that in this day and age that we do need to start having that for pets as well. And, you know, and that maintenance regimen should be as holistic and all natural as possible, so that it allows for opportunities in the future if there are a need for additional therapies, that you can include them. But starting off holistically is definitely important, and understanding that a maintenance regimen therapy for pets is not some crazy idea. It actually, in my opinion, is vital to maintaining their health and wellness today.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Zach. That was wonderful. And there's so many tips and little pointers that pet parents can take away. Now, if our pet parents do want to find you, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously, you know, Naked Pet has a website. So it's, you know, NakedPet.com. So there is a Y in there. We made it a little special. So Naked Pet is, you know, pretty much where you can find all the stuff that I've been talking about, you know, for the last half hour or so. You know, I'm pretty active on social media with, doing a lot of collaborations such as this. So, on Instagram, you can find me. On Facebook, you can find me. And, at the same time on Naked Pet's website, as well as on Naked Pet's, social media platforms, I do also have a link tree that you can find not only things that I, you know, personally formulate, but other companies that I have personally interviewed and looked up their certificates, analyses, etc., and that I've created this little what I call is our preferred partner circle, that is also a great way to also find other products that I do believe pet parents can trust when they are looking to put together a holistic regimen for their pets.
Lovely. That's great. And we'll put some links in the show notes so our listeners can find you pretty easy. And I did take a quick look at your Instagram, and I noticed you do quite a lot of live videos. So lots of educational content there that our followers can dig in and listen on to. Lovely. Thanks so much for joining me today, Dr. Zach. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Yep, absolutely. Same to you. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks. And for our listeners, we need you to follow, subscribe, leave a review if you found something interesting. This helps us to reach more pet owners who also might benefit from this information. And I'm going to see you next time.